Hey, what's up, kiddies? This is Bill from OutsideTheCinema.com, and you're listening to the Gore Press Gorecast. It fucking sucks, but deal with it.
In the most high name of the most high spirit, in the name of the most high line of Judea, Haile Selassie, in the name of the most high Duvalier and the Tantant Makut, I command you, awaken! Awaken! What happened here?
Give me a break. This is not Friday the 13th part Infinity here.
Hello and welcome to the wrap-up show. It's the Gore Press Gorecast. I'm Dangerous Jamie. Joining me, as always, is the Bat-mite to my Batman. Is that what you would be? I don't know.
I have maybe no idea. Maybe
you're a Catwoman, maybe.
That sounds better. I'm happy.
You're a Catwoman. but it's not like the sexually frustrated, like, the tension relationship between Batman and Catwoman. It's like they're mates and they're talking about horror films on a podcast. This week we're looking at the month that we've just gone through. It was
Trash Kings
month. We looked at David DeCarto, Jim Wynorski, and Fred Olen Ray. And we're going to get into a bit of a conversation about what that means and how that works and what we discovered. And we're also going to talk about, it was almost like sweet serendipity, wasn't it, that we got a screener for the documentary Screaming in High Heels.
Very much so, yeah. Perfect timing.
Which focuses on the Scream Queens who I think were featured in all three of the films that we... In fact, there was no Scream Queen from the documentary in Chopping Mall.
No, there wasn't.
We'll get into that when we talk about the film, because I think they focused a little bit too much, and we'll talk about that. But before we get into all that, we're going to talk about what we've been watching lately. But even before that, we've got some announcements. We had a competition running this month.
We did.
To win a stack of screeners. I've got the winner here. The winner knew, or found out using the magic of the internet, that the first film that was co-directed by Jim Wynorski and Fred Olen Ray was indeed, obviously, Dinosaur Island.
We did mention that a number of times.
We did. I mean, it's a glorious film. It's a year after Jurassic Park, and it's so further back in like terms of filmmaking and special effects, and I love it for it. The winner, I've got the name here, is Tom McDonald. So when you hear this, Tom, whack us an email over with your address, and we'll sort that out to you. That'll come courtesy of, I don't know, Royal Mail if you're in the UK, maybe the US Postal Service if you're in America. If you're somewhere else, who knows what's going to happen. We've also got an exciting announcement. Stop all the exciting announcement presses, because here's one that wants to go in there. We're going to be bringing you more movies per month.
And less of this.
Well, there'll still be plenty of this, but like, more movies. We're going to stop doing this sort of wrap-up show business and just bring you four movies per theme, and then you get more chat for your free podcast dollars.
Yep.
And that's that.
Can't argue with that.
With that being said, let's jump right in to the show. Do you want to tell me, Sarah, me and our listeners, what you've been watching lately?
I can do. I don't know whether to run down in sort of a quick list, because there's been a hell of a lot this month.
Pick out the ones that are the super specialist.
I went to see The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, so did I.
And? What did you think?
I thought it was good. I liked it.
Okay.
It wasn't the magical experience I was hoping for.
No. What did you think of Bane?
I mean, I liked Bane. I liked Tom Hardy.
Sometimes, do you like the voice?
I mean, I didn't hate the voice. Bane, it was nice that Bane wasn't... I mean, can we spoil this?
Probably not. It's still at the cinema, so let's not do major spoilers.
I kind of want to.
All right, Jamie's going to do a spoiler. Skip forward about 20 seconds.
Maybe longer, because I'm going to waffle. Okay. The problem with Batman and Robin was that Bane was essentially relegated to being a sort of heavy, like a henchman. And through all the advertising, I was like, yeah, Bane, it's going to be awesome. I like Bane as a character, he's badass. He's the only person that broke the bat in the comics. So that was rad. And then at the end of the film, spoilers, here are all the spoilers. I'm sorry if you want it to be spoiled, but you listen to me and I always spoil everything. He's just a fucking henchman.
And he cries a bit.
I thought he was badass. I didn't not like the voice because Bane's always like...
Even though he sounded like Sean Connery via Stewie Griffin that had been brought up by a deaf person.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, the only problem I had with his voice, really, was that it was so much higher in the mix than everything else. It was like... It sounded like he went back in and redubbed all his audio, which is pretty much what happened, is from what I gather.
Yeah.
And, like, because when they played that short... intro bit before, I think it was Mission Impossible 4, people were complaining they couldn't understand what Bane was saying, so they went back in and just sort of juiced it up to 11, and I think that didn't make it work. But I mean, I just think generally the scope of the film was maybe a little bit too big for a Batman. Like, Batman can't stop the apocalypse. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that Batman can do to stop an apocalypse.
I guess not.
Without it being really contrived, which is kind of how it turned out to be. But I liked it a lot. These are just sort of like quibbles. Like, none of this mattered while I was watching it. I was just having a fucking great time. What did you think?
Sort of the same. It didn't blow me away. Like, it was a great film. It was really entertaining. Preferred the Avengers.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the Avengers, was it? And it was... I think the Avengers was a bit of a surprise, really. Because everyone, I don't know about everyone, but I was really like, Batman's the film of the year. It's going to be the film of the year.
Yeah.
And then the Avengers came along, and it almost took me by surprise, because I was like, it's just a load of bubblegum shit. And then it was rad.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't see it.
I love the Batman movies, because they're so much darker. There's more meat to them. But in terms of fun, I'd pick the Marvel movies every time, to be honest.
What's your favourite Batman film?
I don't know. Can I say the first one?
What, the 60s one?
No. The
Tim Burton one.
The Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah, 1989.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that if you want.
I'm gonna.
Okay, I would probably say, right, my favourite, in terms of the Batman film that I enjoy the most, mm-hmm. people, as a Batman fan, I get guff. But I really, really enjoy Batman Forever.
I think you're allowed that. It was silly, but it was funny.
It was. It was like 60s Batman mashed together with like 80s Batman.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot. I mean, the best Batman film is obviously The Dark Knight. That's clearly the best one.
In terms of cinematic achievements, then yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's technically the best.
Yeah.
Like, and it's in terms of performance, it's the best.
Yeah.
But definitely not my favourite.
We've spent a long time talking about Batman.
I spent a long time in general talking about Batman.
I watched some other stuff too.
Go on, what else?
I introduced Phil to the Warriors. He'd never seen it before. So that was a lot of fun. I love the Warriors so much.
We talked about the Warriors a little bit recently, didn't we? Because we were talking about...
We probably mention it a lot because I love it so much.
We were talking about the FP, weren't we?
Was
that on the show or was that just...
No, we did mention that on the show. I still haven't watched that. I managed to get hold of it, though.
Excellent.
What else did I watch? I watched Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, which was hugely disappointing.
That's the Guillermo del Toro one?
Yeah. Didn't like that. Didn't like it at all. Outside of the horror genre, I watched Wild Bill, which I really enjoyed.
Did it mention him coming to Salford?
No. Did they really?
Yeah, they came. There's a load of Native American settlers that ended up staying here when he came. I'm assuming it's a biopic about...
It's not.
Oh, okay.
What else did I watch? Columbiana. Meh. Yeah. Mm. I like action movies with women as the heroines that aren't haywire, because that sucked.
What's Salt?
I haven't seen it. I'm not a fan of hers. Just, don't know. She rubs me up the wrong way. I don't like it.
I mean, I'm not a big fan either, but she could definitely rub me up the wrong way. And I wouldn't be too upset.
What else did I watch? I watched My Own Private Idaho again. Gave that a rewatch. 21 years old now. That's mental.
Wow.
What else did I watch? I watched Red, White and Blue, obviously, and reviewed it for the site. So go and read that if you haven't already.
You're a big fan of that film, aren't you? I don't want to spoil your review, but...
Yeah, I was about to say I enjoyed it, but that's not the right way to phrase it, I think.
Yeah.
Right,
let me jump in and do a few. I watched the adaptation of Jonah Hex.
Oh, no.
I didn't hate it.
Really?
But it was pacey, and it wasn't boring. I quite liked his power to grab people and bring them back to life. I thought that was handled quite well. I like John Malkovich. It's always good when he's a baddie. So yeah, I didn't hate Jonah Hex at all. What else? I watched the entire RoboCop trilogy. The third one's shit. The first second one's okay, good. And first one's just amazing. I watched Beverly Hills Chihuahua. It was fucking brilliant. So good. Just so good. I rewatched Dance of the Dead, which I've not watched since Fright Fest. I think we sort of mentioned that recently, which made me sort of go out and...
Yeah. What did you? Because you really enjoyed it first time around, didn't you?
Yeah.
Does it still hold up?
Yeah, it's great.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, actually, because I really enjoy it.
It was... I don't know if it was an uncut version of Fright Fest, but I feel like I remembered it being a bit more meaty, which it wasn't. I rewatched The Orphanage, but I can't remember talking about that. I rewatched The Strangers, and it didn't stand up.
I hated that. I've only seen it once.
I liked it both times I saw it in the cinema, because I went back to see it again because I really liked it. But it just doesn't stand up on video, DVD, as it's also known. Right, do you want to jump in and do some more? I've got a few more here, actually. So if you want to jump in and do some more, that'd be nice.
Okay. I have watched a lot this month. I'm skipping over loads because there are just too many.
Did you watch Lake Mungo? Did I say that as homework?
I've ordered it, though.
Did a dog eat it?
No. I have ordered it. It hasn't arrived yet. So I will have watched it the next time I talk to you. I watched Take Shelter, which was pretty good.
Is that the... Oh, that's the Michael Shannon Skies Falling film.
Yeah. It wasn't as amazing as I've been led to believe, but the acting was incredible.
Michael Shannon seems to do a lot of those films.
Yeah.
A lot of films where he's like a normal guy who's just snapped.
Yeah.
Like Bug.
He's good at it, though.
Yeah, he is. What's the one? What was the one recently? Oh, my son, what have ye done? Which is probably the most... what's the word I'm looking for? Pretentious. I couldn't think of the word pretentious. How ironic. it's probably one of the most pretentious... I just think he's... he does that. That's his character now.
Mm.
I think he's great as Kim Fowley and The Runaways. I fucking love The Runaways so much.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have quite a big range, but he does seem to get typecast, I suppose. But I guess he chooses those roles, I don't know. What else have I watched? I watched a documentary about the Toynbee Tiles.
Oh, well, they just watched that over at the Night and Living podcast.
Yeah?
How was it?
I really enjoyed it. It was really interesting. I knew very little about the whole phenomenon before watching the documentary, and it made me want to know more, so I think it did its job.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right, I watched a film called Giovanna Long Thighs, which is an Italian sex comedy directed by Sergio Martino, starring Edward Fenech, which was great. It was hilarious. really, really funny. And plus, basically, there's a congressman or some sort of senator or whatever, a political figure, and he has to hire a prostitute to pretend to be his wife because he knows that this other politician is going to try and sleep with his wife. And it's all sort of, there's loads of slapstick and it's hilarious, and then pimps and prostitutes and stuff. It's really funny. I recommend everyone watch it if you can find it.
Okay. Anything else worth mentioning?
I rewatched Lake Mungo.
Okay.
I rewatched The Return of the Killer Tomatoes, which is essentially the same as the cartoon. And I watched a documentary that sort of fit in with the theme of the month that's called Blood, Boobs and Beast.
Okay. I've never even heard of that.
Well, it's a documentary about the director Don Dohler, who made, like, Night Beast and a bunch of other, like, sort of early 80s low-budget horror, who could have had the career of a Fred Olen Ray or a Jim Wynorski, but didn't. He decided to sort of to retire, and then he died. But he never went Hollywood like them, those guys. And that's sort of like, he could have been up there with them. He would have made those films had he got moved out to Hollywood and done that, but he didn't.
Okay.
And it was really interesting. It came out in 2009. I think Troma might have released it, because they have a few of his films on their books. And it was good.
Cool. Anything else?
I think that might be it, really. Cool. I rewatched Trick or Treat. Didn't stand up, really. It was a bit boring.
Oh. I've only seen that once. I've been waiting for Halloween to roll around again, because I can't watch these things out of season.
Can you not?
I can't. I don't know what else I watched. I think the only other thing worth mentioning was finally got around to watching His Name Was Jason. That Friday the 13th documentary, which is really great. The documentary itself didn't really tell me anything I didn't already know, but the extras, there's hours and hours of extras that are just fantastic. There's one where basically all the guys who played Jason over the years talk about their experiences and stuff. I think that was the best one. That was the most interesting bit.
Was it like they were sat in a room talking about it?
No, they weren't all together, sadly. That would have been cool.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, William Shatner did something like that called The Captains, where he got all the people who've been the captain of the Enterprise, or the captain in a series of Star Trek, and got them all in the room to talk about it. And, like, that sort of thing would be really good with, like, Jason. But, never mind.
Yeah. They missed a trick there.
They definitely did.
Yeah.
Cool. So, is that everything?
Yeah, I think so.
Let us take a break, but before that, I'm going to give you all the contact details in case you want to send us some feedback. It's podcast@godpress.com for all your mail needs. Send us some mails and stuff. You can go to facebook.com/godcast. You can go to twitter.com/godcastx. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm @_dangerous. Sarah, you're @SarahBDemented.
Yep.
And that's, yeah, we'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back. Are you tired of the same old pop culture podcast? Do you listen to those other podcasts and think to yourself, why aren't they talking about the things I'm interested in? Hi, I'm Reverend Scott, and when I want to listen to a couple of guys with their appendages on the pulse of pop culture,
penis,
I listen to the Are You Serious podcast. Hear news about politics and religion, where hosts Chris and Frank ask the tough questions.
You woke up with a cock in your mouth. Would you take it or leave it?
Yeah, exactly. How big is the cock?
You'll hear entertainment news about your favorite movies and TV shows, plus plain old wholesome discussion about the lives of Chris and Frank.
I mean, now I am, like, tattooed. It's weird. It's like I guess I should explain what I got.
Yeah.
It's three swastikas.
Each one interconnected. Connected to look like a smiley face.
And on my left arm is cock and balls. And you notice I looked at my right
character
arm when I
from
said
an old
that.
Disney film.
It's the prequel to Song of the South.
Exactly.
No, I have,
it's called Song of the Cock and Balls.
It sounds like this.
So when you think pop culture podcast, remember this.
What's that thing between the dick and the asshole?
The Are You Serious Podcast on iTunes or areyouseriouspodcast.com.
Talking about the movies of Fred Olen Ray, Jim Wynorski, and David Dacoto.
Yeah. A little bit,
so,
anyway.
Yeah, a little bit. We'll have a bit of a rappy wrap up. What did you reckon? What did you reckon of the films that we watched this month? You'd seen all of them before, hadn't you?
No.
No, you hadn't seen Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers?
I hadn't.
Crazy.
I had fun this month, actually. Yeah, obviously we'll talk about next month's theme a little bit later on, but yeah. I think it was nice to do something a little bit, just a little bit more fun, especially since we're going to move on to something a little bit darker next month.
We are going to be going dark.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They're all sort of those sorts of films are all kind of on a par for me. They're not wonderful, but for what they are, they're very entertaining.
Yeah. I definitely think it's weird that, like, there are three filmmakers essentially making the same films between them.
Yeah.
And I guess they started pretty independently of each other and then sort of came together later.
Hmm.
Which is weird. But, I mean, I guess in the early 80s, everybody who wanted to make a film could, because it was slightly more accessible. Not like how it is now, where it's, like, everyone who thinks they can make a film does.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I think it's really strange how their careers follow that same path, and it's in the documentary that I watched, Blood, Boobs and Beasts, you can really see that that's exactly where Don Dola would have gone. I'm sure there are hundreds of other directors that followed the same path too.
Yeah.
But off the top of my head I can't think of who they would be.
But yeah, there's bound to be others.
Yeah. I don't know if I could pick a favourite between the films that I've watched this month. I just don't know if I could. Probably Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
You just did.
Yeah, I could. I don't know if I could. So, I didn't know whether I could, and it turns out I could.
You can.
Cool.
I mean, should we just start talking about this documentary, and then we can tie it all in together?
Yeah, let's do that. So, as I mentioned at the start, we got a screener through for a documentary called Screaming in High Heels, The Rise and Fall of the Scream Queen.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's from memory, I don't know if that's right. The Scream Queen era, and it's that bit. Which was a documentary that's come out this year, and it's been released sometime in this month, towards the end of the month. Directed by Jason Paul Collum. It's got everyone you'd expect to have interviews with, except noticeably absent was Jim Wynorski.
Yeah.
Which I found strange.
Yeah, I did wonder why he wasn't involved.
And it focuses on the three Scream Queens that everyone's sort of more aware of. Linnea Quigley, Brink Stevens and Michelle Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Richardson, who from a bunch of them, but also from what's it called? Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers. He's very vocal in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly the three ladies with a bit from other people. So go on, tell me what you thought about this documentary.
I thought it was really good. It's only just over an hour long, so it's pretty zippy.
I didn't think it was that zippy. I thought it felt a lot longer than it was.
Oh.
Just because they're cramming so many facts into a short time.
I suppose.
Sorry, go on.
Do you think that was partly because you probably knew a lot of the information that you were getting already?
Yeah, maybe.
Because more of it was probably new to me, so that might be why I found it a little bit more interesting, perhaps.
Yeah. I think my problem with it was that they never really spent long enough focusing on the things that were most interesting.
They zipped right
over like the fan stuff, and there was like a bit of talk of some stalkers, and it sounded a bit like they tried to make it more serious than it was.
Hmm.
And they skipped pretty much over the phone line stuff, which I think is some of the most interesting. Like the idea, someone should do a documentary about like 1-800 numbers in the early and mid 80s or late 80s and whatever, because there were so many of those 1-800 numbers or those whatever numbers they were. It's a weird thing. Like, you call up and you can hear a recorded message of someone saying something, and that's going to cost you like $2 a minute or something.
Yeah,
I just think that's fascinating. And they skipped right over that, and they there was a lot of like Michelle Bauer hiding from who she was, and I didn't. That made me feel a bit uncomfortable.
How do you mean?
Well, like she had no interest in being Michelle Bauer anymore.
I suppose, yeah.
Like she made that whole big deal about how she doesn't tell people what she does, and if they find out on their own, it's their own. It's off their own back, basically.
Which is a shame.
It really is. She's my least favourite one, anyway. But yeah, on the whole, it's informative. It's got lots of clips, which is nice, and all the clips are labelled. It really annoys me when they show documentaries and they don't label clips.
Yeah.
So you see an awesome thing, and you're like, oh, what is that? and they do a fun thing. It's edited in a way where they tie the clips into what they're talking about, which is sort of fun, like sort of fun punctuation for the interviews, I think. Another problem that I had with it, I don't want to shit all over this documentary because it's good. It is good. But anytime that the director clearly didn't get the quote that he wanted to use, he just uses himself.
I did think that was a little bit strange. The fact that, like, how can you interview yourself?
Yeah.
I can understand it. Must be frustrating if he had something in mind and didn't quite get there. But that was an odd choice.
Yeah, and he's directed some films that Scream Queens have been sort of involved with, but nothing before like 2000.
Yeah.
So to call and when it says his like credit on the screen, it says what is it, Jason Collum, director.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the director of this and like November Sun. You're not like a director of Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers or something like that. I thought that was a bit weird. It was a weird choice. I see why he did it, but
yeah, I understand. It was maybe a little bit misleading.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure if it's intentionally so.
I don't think so either. I just think, as someone who's just spent the last 3 days making a short documentary, when you don't get the stuff that you want, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I've not mentioned this. I was going to mention it at the start. I've had the worst fucking week. So I didn't do hardly any of my work for my...
Because this has been hand-in week for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, my reassessments. It was all due in yesterday at 6.
Okay.
And I hadn't started any of it until Monday morning.
Ooh.
And I had two 1,500-word essays, a 2,500-word, like, news piece, a portfolio to put together, including video, and a 10-minute documentary to make.
Jesus Christ.
I got it all done.
But you didn't sleep? at all?
I didn't sleep. I have not slept since. Until yesterday, I hadn't slept since Monday.
Christ.
And it was so much work and so much effort, and everything with this short documentary just kept falling apart. So I have the most amount of sympathy with people who just have to just sort of work around what they've got to get what they want.
Yeah.
We went out and shot a load of, like, I mean, we're getting on topic a little bit, but I shot a load of, like, I tried to make the documentary sort of narrative about me finding stuff out. And we went out and shot a load of, like, me talking to the camera, which none of it came out. So we had to go do it all again, second time, none of it came out. So I was like, what was it, 11 a.m. yesterday, when my hand-in was at 6, just having to go out and shoot more stuff and then get it edited in time to get it into uni for 6. It was fucking horrible. So.
But you did it.
I did it. I'm not going to get very good grades, but it doesn't matter because I'm done with university forever now.
Can concentrate solely on your glittering podcasting career now.
Exactly. Well, I'm actually looking at making another documentary. So,
that's cool.
But this one won't be over the period of 2.5 days.
good.
Yeah. So basically, Jason, Paul, Colin, you did that, and it was weird to me, but I totally understand why. And I'm sure you're a stand-up guy in a waistcoat. he was wearing a waistcoat.
He was. I don't want to go into too much detail because I'm planning on writing a review for this at some point for the website, because I would like to branch out and do some documentary reviews.
Yeah.
Have a new little section on the website at some point, maybe.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, I am planning on writing a review because it's not actually out yet, is it?
It comes out, I think it's been shown on TV
in
America on, like, Spike or whatever the horror channel they've got is there. And, oh, my phone's ringing. Hang on. And it's on silent. And I think it's released on DVD on the 28th of this month.
Okay.
And it focuses, like we say, on the three main, most well-known scream queens. I'm a little bit annoyed that it doesn't talk more about, like, the contemporaries like Monique Gabrielle and Barbara Crampton. And
they do mention them.
I mean, they don't mention Monique Gabrielle. The only time Monique Gabrielle comes up is in Linnea Quigley's acceptance speech.
No, they mentioned her as well, because they did. They made a point of saying, obviously, there are a lot of other scream queens that we haven't covered, and then they name dropped a little bit towards the end.
Yeah, well, they talk about Julie Strain a little bit, and I do love me some Julie Strain. So that's enough to save a documentary. If you want to make, right, a 4-hour period piece about, like, a woman in a high... No, a man in a suit walking around looking glum in, like, the olden days. If you somehow shoehorn in 4 seconds worth of an image of Julie Strain, I'm watching that thing.
That's, wow.
She's just amazing.
So have we got anything else that we want to say about the documentary? Or should we...
Fred Olen Ray's looking... just as sleazy as ever, but now he's blonde, which I find strange.
That's almost sleazier.
Yeah.
Somehow.
David DiCarlo does not look anything like how I imagine David DiCarlo to look.
No, he looked a little bit more respectable than I was expecting, maybe.
He's got that sort of, like... how would I describe it? Like, the sort of reserved gay man thing.
Yeah.
Like, the introspective gay man.
Yeah, it's not how I expected at all.
No. Like, especially when you see, like, all the films where it's just, like, twinks walking around shirtless. Yeah, crazy. I like this documentary. I don't know if I ever need to watch it again, because you did, like you said, it covered a lot of stuff that I did already know.
Yeah.
I think that's the trouble with documentaries about stuff like this, is that It's a difficult line to walk between, like, just sort of pandering to stuff that everyone already knows and being so sort of obscure that, like, you can't get the new people.
Yeah. It did. It was quite fortuitous. It came at the right time, because I I was trying to compose some interview questions for Alina Madison yesterday,
right.
And she's sort of being billed as, I don't know, perhaps part of the new crop of Scream Queens. So it gave me a lot of ideas for questions to ask her, so that was pretty cool.
We should talk a little bit about whatever the new crop of Scream Queens is.
Well, we touched on this the other week, didn't we? And
yeah, we can only think of Tiffany Shepherd, really,
yeah.
But
Since then, obviously, Danielle Harris.
Yeah, Sherry Moon.
Yeah. So that there are quite a few. I don't think it's not quite the same.
I think there's only one person that really embodies what a Scream Queen was then, mm-hmm. today, and that is Misty Monday. I think she's the...
Excuse me.
Did you just give birth to a dog?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I think Misty Monday is the only person that is very much... because the whole Scream Queen thing seems to have moved on.
Yeah.
She's the only person still doing Scream Queen as a Scream Queen in the 80s would have done it.
Yeah.
She's very much following that same trajectory, and so I salute her for that. And also because she likes to take her clothes off.
She
which
does.
I like.
Indeed. So yeah.
Yeah.
That pretty much
so
covers it.
In honour... Go on, sorry, what?
No, I was just going to say that pretty much covers the documentary.
Yeah, so in honour of the documentary and its magical ties to the theme of the month,
mm-hmm.
We're going to do our top five movies with Scream Queens.
Yes, well, that feature one of the three that were featured.
Yeah.
Yeah, I threw mine together at the beginning. But yeah.
Go on, let's hear your number five.
Well, I don't know, they're not even numbered. My number five can be Night of the Demons.
I know what your number one is.
Do you?
Yeah.
Same as your number one?
No. If your number one's what I think your number one is, it's not even on my list.
This is really confusing.
Yeah.
This is all very cryptic.
So your number five was Night of the Demons.
It is.
It's a great film.
It is.
Obviously, it stars Linnea Quigley. Is there anyone else in it? Scream Queen-ish.
Linnea
Quigley's are the only boobs in it, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the magical lipstick trick.
Yes. That grossed me out the first time I saw that.
Yeah.
And it annoyed me that they tried to copy it in the remake. And it.
I like what they did with it in the remake, because they... Like, the remakes, it's almost like a comment on remakes in general. Like,
really?
They take the idea of the original and they try and make it bigger and glossier and better.
I guess.
And that's pretty much what they do with just that little bit. It's almost like, yeah, like a comment or like a description.
Hmm.
Yeah. My number five is the robot killing girls in the shower epic Exterminator City.
Oh, of course.
I should have guessed
that would be on your list, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's got Julie Strain in it. Julie Strain's got an Oscar in the film. So that's what she gets killed with. She's obviously not one of the three, but Bridget Stevens is in it as the only person who keeps her top on. Taylor Wayne is in it. Basically, have I talked about it on the show before? I can't remember. But... this British director called whatever the fuck his name is.
that guy, you know him.
He decided to make a film about robots, a world in which like robots do everything except be sexy naked ladies. and so this killer robot with a messiah complex is going around killing women in their homes while they're naked. But never the two characters ever meet. It's all shot very badly with puppets and stuff. And it's got every single person you ever want. Mistress Anova's in it. There's just a million like porn stars, scream queens, horror actresses, dominatrixes, everyone you could ever want in a terrible film about puppet robots. And I recommend it to everyone. That's your number four.
That does sound wonderful.
Have you not seen it yet?
No, I have.
Okay, good. Did you hate it?
No. Why do you assume that?
Because it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, I like shit movies, though. You know that.
I do, but I'm like, good.
I think my list is really, really obvious. My number four is Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Another Linnea Quigley film.
Yeah. They're mostly Linnea Quigley films.
I thought that might happen.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Silent Night, Deadly Night in ages.
I re-bought it recently because obviously Arrow did one of their wonderful releases.
Yeah.
And I've been waiting because we were talking about this earlier. I can't watch films out of season, so I have to wait for Christmas to watch that now. So it's been a while, but I enjoy it a lot. Yes.
Fair enough. Okay, well, my number four isn't even a film.
That's not allowed, surely.
There it is. Oh, it's Linnea Quigley's Horror Workout.
Oh, for fuck's sake. So you like that for the plot lines and the characterisation and... Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like a horror mixtape, really. Like, it's just clips and fun stuff interspersed with, like, some fake workout stuff. It's just a lot of fun.
Oh, you're allowed that, then. I still think it's cheating a little bit, but you're allowed
that. Why would
that.
It be cheating?
Because you admitted it's not even really a film.
It's not a film, but it was a feature that had Linnea Quigley in it, so whatever.
You're allowed it, that's fine.
But really, it's just like, it's the same as like Scream Queen Hot Tub Party, where it's like almost a film, but really just like a collection of clips.
Mm.
And in that case, it was disguised as a workout video, which it obviously wasn't.
Number three.
So what's your number three?
Number three is Slumber Party Massacre, which has been on one of my lists before. Incorrectly, if I remember.
Slumber Party Massacre.
Are you checking?
I'm not checking. I was just sort of typing something in for my next one. Slumber Party Massacre. Who's in that?
Brink Stevens.
Is it Brink Stevens who's in that one?
Yeah.
Of course it is. For sure. I haven't seen that film in ages.
It's another one I bought recently, actually. I haven't seen it for a long time. About 5 years or so. But I remember really enjoying that. I mean, it's shit. Utter, utter shit. But, I don't know. Like, my inner feminist quite likes the fact that it was directed by a woman, and I just think it's a cool movie. So that's my number three. What about you?
My number three. In fact, do you know what inner feminist like that it's directed by a woman, but like so they when they get the boobs out, it's on their own terms, or because, or would it not be the exact opposite of that, which is like it's women together and then they have to get their boobs out because that's going to please the men.
This is all getting a bit too deep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think literally just the fact that it was directed by a woman, and there aren't that many female directors making horror films, even now.
It's
certainly
true.
Not back in the 80s, so I like it for that reason.
Okay. Well, my number three
mm-hmm.
is Beverly Hills Vamp, featuring Michelle Bauer as a blood-sucking prostitute. It's got Britt Eklund, Eddie Deason's in it, Jay Richardson from Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers, and
mm-hmm.
a bunch of those other films. It's directed by Fred Olen Ray, obviously. It's just great. Have you seen it?
No.
I think you'd really like it. It's very silly.
Okay.
Like, Fred Olen Ray was always quite light with his films. Like, he always sort of... They always had a sort of winking eye at the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whispering eye, but a winking eye. And, it's just great.
Cool.
Number two
is the film that we covered on the Gormantree last week. Sorority Babes in the Slimeball Bowlerama. Fucking ridiculous. And I love every minute of it.
For my number two, I cheated because I couldn't narrow my list down to just five.
Okay.
So, I put together Sorority Babes and Nightmare Sisters because they're the ones that feature all three.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, Sorority Babes is just fucking brilliant. Nightmare Sisters, not so much, but it's definitely the... You can see it's shot like a lot more cheaper than a lot more cheaply than the other ones.
Mm.
But yeah, Sorority Babes and Slimer Ballerama is great. I'd originally done that as a double shot with Evil Toons because they're essentially the same film with like a little sort of plasticine demon replacing the cartoon demon, but whatever.
Yeah.
So you're number one. Shocker of all shockers.
Well, what do you think it is?
I think it's Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, of course it is. Obviously.
It's not on my list.
That surprises me, actually.
I don't really consider it a Scream Queen film.
Well, no, but we decided that it was just going to be fun starring the three.
Counts. It does count. I'm not saying it doesn't. I didn't put it on my list because I don't consider it a Scream Queen film.
Fair enough. What's your number one, then? We don't really need to spend any time talking about Return of the Living Dead.
No, we don't. We did a whole commentary on it.
We did.
So you can go back and listen to that if you want.
Yeah.
My number one, again, I couldn't narrow it down. So there are 15 films at number one. No, there are two. I picked one of them, Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers, which obviously we spoke about in... Uh-huh. Was it last week? Week before?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
And the other one was Evil Toons, which I've talked about loads as well. Mm-hmm. So I think they're both fucking brilliant, and I could never pick a favourite between those two.
Fair enough.
So yeah.
That was a rather cheaty list.
Yeah. the way I see it is, it's our show, fuck it.
That's, yeah, alright. Why the fuck not?
Exactly.
So yeah, that's it, basically. That's the last top five we will ever do in a month wrap-up show.
Yeah, I guess we're going to be doing top fives. Well, we'll talk about how we're going to do the work this new layout together. It'll be a magical surprise for the listeners.
Hopefully.
Speaking of last times we'll ever do things in a monthly wrap-up show,
mm-hmm.
let's have a look at some upcoming releases for the last time in a monthly wrap-up show.
Let's do that.
So releases for this week, the week of the 13th, that was Monday, mm-hmm. it's now Thursday, so whatever. What have we got? Not much here. Nazi Zombie Death Tales. Wow.
Elfie Hopkins, which Dave did a review for, is up on the site now. I think he quite liked it. I think he was a bit dubious because it's another Black and Blue Films production. So,
right.
And we have
I hope Jamie Winston and Ray Winston play like lovers.
Ew. I don't. I don't want to see that.
The Life and Death of a Porno Gang is out on Blu-ray, which sounds like fun. Kill List is out on US Blu-ray.
Oh, that's a wonderful film.
I bought it on DVD, but I've not got a chance to watch it yet. I bought it on your recommendation, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
There's a US release of the Gingerhead Man Trilogy box set.
That's so friggin' weird. I literally just, as we were talking, like, this is, I should probably admit now, this is generally what I do when we record podcasts. I tend to have Amazon open in another window, and I end up ordering loads of DVDs that we talk about. Oh, I don't have that. And I'm literally just buying Gingerhead Man 2 and 3.
I've not even seen 2 and 3.
Because Michelle Bauer's in the second one, and that's... Right. It's logical. That's how I got there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them. Gary Busey's not in the second and the third, so that's disappointing.
It is. Yeah, and Father's Day, which we've talked about before, I'm pretty sure that's been released on Blu-ray 10 times in the past 5 months.
Still haven't seen that, I want to.
There's also the Brains That Wouldn't Die collection. What's in this? Let's have a look. The Head, The Atomic Brain, The Indestructible Man, The Manster. Wow. And The Amazing Transparent Man.
New from £3.53.
Yeah.
Those like a must-have.
Those box sets are always really cheap. I've got a few of them. I think I've got a Western one and a Euro police procedural drama one with like street trash in it. Oh, it's maybe the Mob Boss one or something like that. I can't remember. But yeah, they're normally pretty good. Like the transfers are good, but they're all like over two discs.
Okay.
Which is a bit annoying. I'm not into that too much, but whatever.
So.
That's everything
week.
For this week. Next week we've got what's the date next week? Whatever next week is.
Night of the Living Dead reanimation.
Oh, don't even bother with it.
What?
Looking at the cast, right? You think, wow, that's going to be good.
Well, Andrew Dimoff, Jeffrey Combs. Yeah. What's not to love already?
It's one of the worst films I've ever seen. I was so upset with it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Blu-ray of Puppet Master.
Yeah, finally.
Sweet.
I've still not got a Blu-ray player.
Monster Brawl.
That's got Dave Foley, Lance Henriksen, and Kevin Nash in it. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a wrestling one, I think.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous, but sort of entertaining. And I know Dave's got a screener that he's going to review, so I'm interested to see what he thinks of it in the next few days.
Who's Dave Foley?
Dave Foley is... Oh, he's one of those guys. Like, he's in... Shed loads of stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure it's not... What's the... See, I was getting him confused with Mick Foley.
Oh, definitely
because
not.
Because I knew that it was a wrestling film. So Dave Foley's the guy from Kids in the Hall, which... Why would he be in this? That sounds amazing.
What else is out? Halloween 4 Blu-ray.
Jersey Shore Shark Attack, starring Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone.
Yeah, Joey Fatone. Paul Savino and William Atherton.
I might watch that.
Yeah, me too. Joey Fatone's been in a few films. And he's not rubbish.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I've only seen him in... There was the one with Lance Bass as well.
Apparently, customers who bought this item also bought Jurassic Shark, Two-Headed Shark Attack, Mega Shark in Malibu, Sand Sharks, Shark in Venice, Sharktopus. I'm sensing a trend. Awesome.
And Stephen King's Thinner is out on Blu-ray, starring RoboCop 3's Robert John Burke. I like Thinner. I think it's really good. So yeah, you can get that. Cool. On Blu-ray from this week, from next week.
The week after, which the will week be... after. What date will that be then?
27th?
27th of August, yes.
You've got Wrong Turn 4, Bloody Beginnings.
Jesus Christ.
I'm pretty sure I reviewed that on the site. Maybe one of the last reviews that I've written in a long time.
Yeah.
It's not very fucking good.
The review? No.
Ah, fuck you.
Outpost 2.
Yeah, the film everyone's been waiting for, Outpost 2, Black Sun.
Is that shown at Fright Fest?
I don't care, I'm not going.
You're so bitter.
I'm just so poor.
Yeah. Detention's coming out.
Detention, I don't know what that is.
I can't remember. I think it's directed by somebody who's done music videos. But I've heard good and bad things.
There's the Arrow Blu-ray release of Dawn of the, Day of the Dead.
Okay, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I guess. It's more exciting if you like Blu-ray, which I don't. There's a Blu-ray release of Living Dead Girl, which is a good fun time film. Fun.
A film called The Fields with Tara Reid in, which I have a screener for and haven't been able to bring myself to watch yet. Maybe I'll have to get on that. Yeah.
Ooh, it's got a lenticular sleeve.
My friend's got a phobia of those.
Why?
I don't know. Just like if you drag your nail across them. She hates it.
I used to sing, there was that one bit of a... I used to have a backpack with a lenticular thing on it. And I used to... I think it might have been Darth Maul or something. And I used to sing DJ Lethal, Bring It On, and then use it as a scratchy thing. And I'm that guy.
You are the coolest person ever, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. And then finally, the week of the 3rd of September, you've got Piranha 3 Double D coming out on Blu-ray, Blu-ray 3D, and I guess DVD 2.
Oh, I've heard that's absolutely fucking terrible.
But I really enjoyed Piranha 3D.
Yeah, so did I, and so did a bunch of people that I've heard that told me that this is shit. So, I don't have great hopes for that one.
You've also got Rec 3 Genesis.
Yeah, which is playing on the day I'm going to Fright Fest.
I've heard lots of sort of differing things about it. It's more of a comedy.
Yeah. I'm quite excited. I like the Wreck films.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't really deal with any of the sort of mythology that they set up in the first two.
Meh.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Especially when the second one was so great.
A lot of people don't agree with that.
Who doesn't agree with that? The second one's way better than the first one.
That seems to be the way, though. People tend to prefer the first one vastly, or the second one. There's very little middle ground. I am the middle ground, because I like them both.
I like them both, but I definitely prefer the second one.
Yeah. Got the aggression scale, which I'm almost positive is playing at Frightfest, and stars Dana Ashbrook from Twin Peaks, who we
and
are...
And Ray Wise, also from Twin Peaks.
But we're not getting an interview with Ray Wise, though, sadly. We are getting an interview with Dana Ashbrook, which is where I was going with that.
Why can't we have an interview with Ray Wise?
I don't know. That would have been preferable. Sorry, Dana Ashbrook. But you know Ray Wise.
I love Ray Wise.
He is just Ray Wise in everything, though, isn't he?
Well, I mean, who else?
Not that that's
be?
A bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. He is wonderful.
Yeah. Underground on Blu-ray, whatever that is.
Looks like the original Mother's Day is getting a Blu-ray release.
Yeah,
and the Animator.
Seems to be the case. And Stephen King's Sleepwalkers.
Yeah. Cool. So that's about it.
That seems to be the lot. Yeah.
Well.
So I guess we're done.
Yeah.
The last ever wrap-up show.
Oh, it's quite sad.
I mean, it is, but whatever.
But 4 films a month now, which
is more films.
Massively exciting.
Yeah. So join us next week, where we start looking at revenge films. Ooh, revenge. So angry I punched my keyboard. I got revenge on my keyboard. Which one do you want to cover first? What are we looking at? We're looking at House on the Edge of the Park, Miss 45, Savage Streets, and I Spit on Your Grave, the original.
Let's start with I Spit on Your Grave.
Okay.
Let's do that one first.
I'm excited. I've not seen this film in a long time, so...
I saw it probably a couple of years ago.
I think it's maybe 5 or 6 years for me.
Yeah. Just have you seen the remake?
I saw the remake, yeah. Well, I slept through a lot of the remake at Fright Fest.
If you get a chance to watch the remake again, do that, and maybe we can touch on that in the review as well.
Okay. Cool. So, Tuesday next week sees that. So, be there to listen to it on your internet machine.
For some more good sentencing.
Yes. But until then, stay... spooky or something. Try to develop a catchphrase.
That's not it. Can that not be it, please? I don't want to be remembered for that.
I'll work on it.
Sweet.
Cool. Bye. Oh, we're leaving today on one of my favourite songs ever. It's Misfits with Scream, or my greatest Misfits with Scream. So enjoy that, and we'll see you next week.